Good evening. We have now finally started the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Douglas.
This is Andrew.
And this is Damien, of course.
And today we're going to talk about some stuff. I don't know what really. Probably I'm going to guess some news. Maybe we'll watch a couple of trailers and maybe talk about some movies.
Yeah.
Yes?
I think that's what usually works.
Well, so for everyone out there, I want to just give my own personal apology. Because the reason why you haven't heard from us recently is we've been having recording trouble. Right? Or you know what? Because Damon will probably shout at me, I'll correct it. I've been having recording trouble.
I can't say
right? So the last two episodes we recorded, and I have to thank our guests. We had Alex Billington from First Showing, and we had Jack G from the Film Stage come on and talk with us. Those episodes won't find the light of day. I mean, unless I learn ridiculously new editing techniques, I don't think that's ever going to happen. But we covered a lot of stuff in those weeks, and I think what would be nice is if we could just, like, briefly just tell people what we thought about the films we talked in those weeks.
Well, first off, I think we should start this conversation by saying that you're wrong.
I'm wrong about what?
Disturbia is not better than Rear Window. He said that.
To who?
That was to everybody.
To internet
people? Yes, to internet people. That was a sticking point in one of our...
He knows that Sherlock
Lost.
Is in.
Yes, he knows it.
Better than a Hitchcock film.
Yeah.
Andrew said that.
Oh
my God.
Okay. Hold on. Just so everyone hears it, I'll repeat it. Disturbia was better than Rear Window. Okay. Not backing down.
All right.
Pray that God doesn't like movies. You're going to hell.
Yeah, I know what's going to happen. In 20 years, not even 20 years, because God knows after I've said this is going to happen tomorrow, a bus is going to run me down, and then I'll go up, and Paul will be like, what do you think of Rear Window? I'm like, it was alright, but Disturbia is better.
Andrew, you've been red flagged. You need to speak with HR. You've said some things while you were on earth. We do not approve.
So yeah,
some other highlights from that show. We also talked about
hold on. Before we run along, I want, because Damien wasn't here those weeks.
No.
I want to hear what Damien thinks of Rear Window. Other than I'm a mad person.
Yeah. So Rear Window is a true classic. I don't need any caveats for this movie. Not like, what did we talk about?
Citizen Kane?
Citizen Kane and some of those other movies that we had to, come up with things that kind of explained why we didn't like it as much. But I love this movie. This movie is great. And my mother loves this movie. Everybody that I've shown this movie loves this movie. It's a suspense movie, but it's kind of fun too. I don't know how they got, all of that into one. And, he was just basically in one room for all the movie. And it never, the movie never dragged, unlike some of those other old movies that we've seen. So, that movie is like A+ in my book.
Okay.
Disturbia, not so much.
All right. Well, something else we talked about. Another movie we talked about was Bronson.
Have you seen Rear Window yet? By the way,
I've seen like the first half hour.
Oh.
So we talked about Bronson. However, since Damon wasn't here, he didn't get to say his piece. So, what did you think about Bronson? I hear you loved it.
All right. So Bronson is my movie. Loved it. I'm sure there's nitpicks that people make about the movie. Like, the dark humor in this movie is perfect. This is a movie, I felt that they kind of looked at me and said, what would Damon like to see in this movie? And they went balls out with this movie. I love how they narrated it. If there will be people that don't like this movie, and I guess I can understand. This movie is not for everybody, and I won't tell everybody that, you definitely need to see this movie. But if you watch it, I don't think there's anybody that's going to be halfway on this movie. You either really love this movie or think it's madness. But I was on the really love this movie side. The main actor,
was Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Great. All the supporting actors. Even the music.
I love the music in that movie.
The movie's great.
Okay, so I believe that Andrew, you're essentially going to say ditto here, and I just I just want to be the more sober and less enthusiastic voice on this thing. It was actually my choice to do this movie, and
thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Actually, you see, I'm going to say it very similarly to how I said it when we were talking on the show that will never come out. Apparently, I was both extremely entertained and somewhat disappointed, because come on, like you said, the movie is pretty good. Right, it's fun to watch most of the time, and Tom Hardy's performance is fantastic. It's stellar. I'm really watching out for him now.
He doesn't get
Not to disturb you or anything.
Yeah,
Jack G is in the chat room and he's mentioned Rear Window again.
Jack G.
Hey Jack, just want to say hi.
Not having any of it.
Alright, so I said, it's a good movie. Whoa. But at the same time, it felt a bit, what's the word, separated. I didn't like the fact that there was the story that, you know,
that
he was in the prison and he was doing his stuff, or he was outside of the prison and he was doing his stuff. That was real life. And then all of a sudden you went back into his mind with the whole theater thing.
Right.
And both sections taken by themselves are fantastic. Mm-hmm. They're extremely entertaining. I love them, but put them like together, I didn't like. Yeah, I didn't like the way that they mesh them together.
That's what I was talking about the nitpick. Like, there's things, like there's problems with this movie,
mm-hmm.
but I look like I've watched a movie 3 times. movies. Like, I love the thing where in his mind those sections are just. I mean, they're just so well done. When we saw the trailer for this movie, we were hoping for something like this, but I couldn't believe that they went. The trailer didn't give you any idea that they were going to go that far with it. And by the end of the movie, he wasn't narrating, it was just things happening to him and, like, the repercussions to all of the madness that he was doing. And it kind of ended, like, there was nothing. What I loved about the movie is that it wasn't trying to say anything about, you know, how they treat people in prison, or like, it wasn't trying to do any of that.
Yeah.
It was just, I'm pretty sure that they spoke with Bronson at some point, and this is basically what he said, and they just took what he said and was, alright, we're turning what he said into a movie, and that's it. We're not going to add anything, we're not trying to try to say anything. I love that movie. Jesus Christ.
Okay, so that's episode 1. Episode 2, what did we talk about?
In the classic film Marathon, we spoke about Billy Wilder's The Sunset Boulevard.
Which I thought was fantastic. What do you think?
Amazing acting, amazing story. Loved the end, loved every bit of it.
Oh, wait, sorry. I need to preface that. Fantastic. Fantastic movie, but I hated it.
Was it a Requiem?
No, it was a Requiem. That's exactly what it is. I think it's a good movie. Mm. I respect it. I almost adore it. But guess what? That bitch. That lady.
You and your words.
I hated her from the get-go.
She's less than pleasant.
I wanted to kill her. I wanted to snap her little neck every time I saw her. However,
once again, Damien was not here.
Yeah, so what did you think of it?
Ditto everything for the last part of the
movie. Question. Mm-hmm. I picked this movie more or less blind, you know, out of a list. Like, whenever I pick films for this thing, I just go to lists.
We know, that's why we ended up with some of the movies.
Did you know this was the movie which that line came from, you know, I'm ready for my close-up?
Yes.
Oh. I didn't.
No, I mean, a lot of the movies that, like, have lines like these popular lines, you kind of know where you come from, because people tell you that, you know, the movies. Oh, that line's from that movie. I knew it, and I had seen this movie a long, long time ago when I was a small child, and Claire didn't like it because I was a small child. They weren't killing anybody.
You don't
anybody.
Understand these things.
Exactly. They weren't killing anybody. This is bag of talking. I don't care. Well, now that I've grown up and my brain has somewhat matured. I'm not a fan of this movie.
I'd just like to let everyone know Jack G's perspective on this film, and I quote, "She's so likable. She had a personality."
I agree with you, sir. Douglas is a crazy person.
Personality like a freight train. Anyway,
last week, my choice.
Your choice.
No, not true crime.
Oh, true romance. Apologies.
The Tarantino crime. Cut.
Not even the good cut. Not even the okay cut.
Have you seen the other cut?
Right.
Have you seen the other version of the movie?
I've seen some of the other version.
That ain't right.
So, Damien, what did you think of this movie?
So, I used to think that, you know, if the Coen brothers and Tarantino came together, made a movie, it would be awesome. Except they kind of did that already. I was significantly less than this movie... It had the Tarantino things, pointless conversations that totally absolutely nothing.
Yes,
but dragged out the movie.
Yes,
those right. and then the Coen brothers side, everyone died.
Right,
so it had all of that and piss poor action, which is kind of a staple of both of them at this point.
So
and
no, hold on. No
and
country,
it should have been
No
awesome.
Country for Old Men had piss poor action.
There's exceptions to every rule. Andy.
Okay, just checking.
Kill Bill had phenomenal action.
Pulp Fiction had horrible action.
Yeah, those action scenes, the all two of them. Right. So I thought, like, the on paper, I thought it would have been good, but the actual movie, while watching it, not so much. It's not a bad movie. I won't tell anybody that it's a terrible movie. I personally didn't like it.
Forget that. It is a bad movie.
No, that's too harsh. They shot Sam Jackson in like 2 minutes.
Here's the deal, right? I'll give credit where credit is due. I was actually extremely surprised. This is one of, I believe at least, Christian Slater's better roles. Exactly.
Because all of his movies are shit.
He performed extremely well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
I won't argue that.
He was pretty decent actor here. As was Sam Jackson, as was...
No, the acting, listen to me.
Yeah.
For the most part, the act, except that white dread youth.
Yeah, what the hell?
All right, outside of that...
Wait, which white dread youth are you talking about?
That was not
Gary Oldman.
That was Gary Oldman.
Right.
No, he was good. I don't know what you're talking about.
Alright, that character doesn't exist anywhere except in Tarantino's head. No one has ever met a character like that. Anywhere. He may have acted it well, but the second assignment went, whatever. Tarantino. I'm like, yeah, this is a Tarantino character, and we're moving on. But the acting wasn't... What was bad about this movie is everything else. Is the story,
yeah,
the way it was
story.
Put together...
And then, you know what I loved? What I thought was great. Did you watch it all the way through? Did you actually get that far? Okay, mm-hmm. Great.
Oh, come on.
So it ends.
Yes.
Right? And the lady drives herself off into mm-hmm. the sunset.
And
she has an argument with herself in her head. Why do I need to know about that argument?
Because Tarantino wrote this movie and sold it so that he could have made... Was it Pulp Fiction?
I don't know what this
no,
gave
Reservoir
him.
Dogs.
Right.
So he
sold this script so that he could get the money to do Reservoir Dogs, or so the story goes.
Mm-hmm.
And it is clear that this is his script. Because of some of the conversations that have zero. There's some conversations that have this much to do with it. Get the story forward. Oh my god.
Anyway.
I like the cast though.
Yeah, no, the cast
was back
great.
In those days.
Chris Walken was
you
good.
You could get awesome actors to come in shitty movies and you didn't have to pay them anything.
But honestly, like, I mean, I hear all your quibbles, right? But be real. Like, uh-huh. The overall story was bad. Right, Christian Slater and whoever the hell played Alabama, I still care.
We mean whoever the hell, Patricia Arquette.
Patricia Arquette,
come on.
Right, those two, not so good. But all of those minor characters.
Wait,
and
what
all
do you mean not so? Wait, stop. What do you mean not so good?
I don't know what he's talking about.
What do you by saying that Christian
Slater
and Patricia Arquette are not so good? What do you mean?
As in,
their characters are
they're acting.
You're a crazy person.
What did I just say? What did I just say?
We said that it was Christian Slater's best role yet.
Right? That's not quite what I said, but I said that this is one of his better...
Better? Yeah, and I agree with you. Yeah. Because everything he does is shit.
No, no. I actually thought that he acted... Okay, I'm working...
It wasn't the problem.
I'll make a definitive statement here. Yeah. I thought that in this movie, Christian Slater acted very well.
Right, he was
That's what I thought.
Listen to me. If it was down to that purely on acting, this movie would have been a good movie. There was nobody that was that out of place. I don't like the white dread youth, but that's something. That's it for me. Right? I'm sure other people may have enjoyed that.
All right.
But the story is nonsense. And how they put the story together is even worse.
just as a side note, has anyone seen Alone in the Dark?
Is that the one with Tara Reid?
Is that Tara Reid? Is that Uwe Boll's masterpiece?
I think it is.
Yes, it is. I've seen pieces of it.
Apparently, according to Jack, once again, that is Christian Slater's best movie.
I wouldn't know because the movie's that bad. Tara Reid played some scientist, and my brain couldn't process anything else.
It's like the Christmas Jones syndrome.
Oh my god, it was bad. Can we move on from this movie?
Okay, so let's move on.
What else did you guys review after?
No, that's it.
We've gone through our four movies, and so now we're ready. We have now retroactively spoken about the last 2 weeks. We took a break last week, so technically it's the last three weeks.
Okay, so 2 weeks of podcast. Took us like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
so about we have 5 minutes for this one.
I have to make it important what I say.
All right, so we're going to continue our classic film marathon today with once again another Billy Wilder film, Some Like It Hot.
Since Scarface, so much action. Not since the Marx Brothers, so much comedy. Not since the 7-Year Itch, so much Maryland. The best picture this year will also be the funniest.
Good night, sugar.
Good night, honey.
There's one thing sure, boy never met girl like this before. You've never laughed more at sex.
So, I mean, we've spoken about four films so far. We've gone through Casablanca, Citizen Kane, and we just did
Rear Window
and Sunset Boulevard. Yeah. And this will be the first comedy we're talking about, right?
Wait, you didn't think Rear Window was funny?
No, not really.
I should talk about this, lad.
Damien,
no, I mean, it wasn't really a comedy. There was funny elements about the movie. But
it's a Jack Lemmon film.
I don't think I should talk about this first. I think I'll let you guys talk about this first.
Alright, so Douglas.
I enjoyed the film. I have decided that I'm now a Billy Wilder fan and must hunt down everything he has done. I think this is a film that is very much like a lot of Jack Lemmon's films. I shouldn't say a lot of, but a lot of his bigger films, the ones that he is known for, especially those with, you know, Walter Matthau, the ones where he's just, you know, it's him and another guy or another character, and they interact, you know, there's this dynamic where, in this case, they're close friends, sometimes they're not close friends, but there's this dynamic where, you know, they're always quibbling and fighting
playing
and stuff, playing off each other, exactly. And they're in the most ridiculous of scenarios, and they run all over the place. But it sounds ridiculous, but guess what? I like it. I don't think it's, you know, whoa, this is the greatest film ever made. But this is the type of movie that I can just sit down and watch and giggle at every once in a while and just enjoy, essentially. And I like that. And Marilyn Monroe is in it. So.
This is actually the first movie I've ever seen with Marilyn Monroe in it. You know? Okay. I've been a huge fan of Jack Lemmon for a long time. I mean, I've seen movies that he's done like Grumpy Old Men, Out at Sea, the one with Walter Matthau where he's Felix Unger. For some reason, name escapes me right now. Couple. The Odd Couple. That's the first one I was trying to think of, and I just drew blank. I also saw him in that President's movie with
James Garner.
I think it's All American or something like that.
No, it's My Fellow Americans.
My Fellow Americans, which I thought was really good. But I've never really gone back into his older films, right? And I thought it nice to go back and see this one.
Actually, you know, it's a really good movie with him in it.
Mm-hmm.
Him and the lady that came back.
The lady that came back.
Terms of Endearment.
Blank.
Yeah, you need to.
The Evening Star.
Blank again.
You telling me the names? Maybe I've seen them, but I don't know.
Hold on. Let's go to IMDb.
Guarding Tess.
What's her name?
Helen Mirren? No.
Jesus Christ, no.
I really don't know who Nicolas Cage is. Yeah, I know the movie, but I don't know who the woman is.
What the hell is her name? I can't remember. Anyway, she's in it along with Jack Lemmon. It's really, really cool. It's in France, and she's a lady of the night. He is an ex-policeman, and, you know, situation gets out of hand.
Shirley MacLaine,
that's her, yes. How could I forget MacLaine? But that's a really good film. I like that one. Anyway, back to this one.
And I have to say that I won't say that I thought this was an amazing movie, but at the same time, I enjoyed it. I loved it for the silliness. I mean, who hasn't seen movies where men dress up as women to hide out from the mob? Apparently, Damien. And I mean, actually watching this movie, I'd seen the end scene of it before, right? Where he comes out, he tells the millionaire that he's a man, and the man's like, yeah, I don't care. So that wasn't a surprise to me. But one thing I really got, and I don't know if you can...
to our listeners either.
I don't know if you can tell me whether I'm right or wrong, because I haven't looked this up. But do you know if the songs that were sung in the film were actually Marilyn Monroe singing, or was it like someone else?
No, I think it was her singing.
Because I didn't know she was that good a singer. Like, I just thought she was tits.
Yeah, back in the day, people had actual talent. Not like, no. You can get away with shit.
So, I like this movie. It's a real fun comedy. Really good with the duo, kind of like Odd Couple and all those other movies that I named before that I like Jack Lemmon for. So if you like those, you should like this movie.
Alright, that's why I made you guys
talk. Yeah, I know, because you made it clear from earlier tonight that you did not like this
snarky
movie.
Snarky comments. No, it's not a bad movie. And it's, like, I don't want to come off as being down on this movie, because there's nothing really wrong with the movie. I think it's just that I'm not into that type of comedy anymore. The run up and down and the silliness, maybe there's a time that I used to enjoy that, but clearly, like, every time I saw them doing it, I just sat there and like, what? Why are these guys? And what I do love, I love how it's shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the music in the movie. And some of the dialogue, the banter between them, is kind of fun. But I realize that I'm more of a Tropic Thunder type of comedy, and I'm no longer in, because I've seen movies like this that I've enjoyed, but I feel now if I went back and tried to watch any of these movies, I'd be feeling the same way that I feel now. Like, oh, it's just running up and down, and there's nothing really, like, it's just wacky, there's nothing really funny going on. But funny, like, how people view things as funny or unfunny is really subjective.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that the movie isn't funny. It didn't work for me, much like how Dane Cook doesn't work. Well, no, that's not bad. Who is out there that people like that?
That do the puppets.
No, I'm pretty sure I've heard. No.
I don't like that dude with the puppets. What's his name?
Jeff Dunham. Right.
I don't like him.
Right. Again.
Actually, I like the way he says that. I kill you, but that's about it.
Silence!
Yeah, there's nothing else.
Alright, so Right, that is the thing. You guys don't like him. I love Jesse Dunham. I've seen all of his stand-up specials.
Give me Louis Black.
Right. And there's people
or give
who,
me
right. There's people who I know
Flem.
Who hate Chris Rock. And
that's because he's not funny.
Yeah, exactly. That's according to Douglas. But I know anything he does by way of stand-up, his movies all suck. I'm willing to go.
He has
I,
Dogma.
He's never coming
he
up.
He has
movie.
Dogma.
No, he's never started a movie. And
started
the movie has
in
been
a
good.
Movie. Started in a
no,
movie.
No, you can't. You can't
he was
begin
in CB40.
Whatever.
Let us see if I can disprove this one. I have to go to IMDb.
No, Andrew,
right,
you
so
can't.
So I don't want to say the movie isn't funny. I don't want to say the movie isn't good. It's just not a movie for me. Much like musicals, I don't like saying that musicals are bad because clearly I am not a musicals person.
Musicals for the win.
Whatever. So, I mean, I make snarky comments because that's what I do. But it's not a bad movie. I suggest that people watch it and see for themselves. I don't want to say that the movie is bad. There's movies that I'm willing to say are bad, but this is not one of them.
Okay, so I guess that's two yeses and one eh. Essentially,
just before we close this off, just before we close this off, I just wanted to take note at one other set of people in this film, the mobsters. No, that was a set of characters that I definitely didn't like because they were just way too silly. The guy who was just too dumb, who was like, hey, where are they? And then, oh, they slipped out of my hands. I don't know what we're doing anymore.
The guy,
you know,
with the lips.
You know, I just couldn't take that. Like, when we had reached the end of the movie and they had the final get to...
It wore on you before the movie and you just couldn't take it anymore. Much like the spirit.
You know,
that was bad after the intro.
No, that was bad before the intro.
No, the gravelly voice, and he must thought, this is my city and I am its spirit. That wasn't bad. And
you
then
clearly
the movie
did
started.
Not watch a second
no,
trailer.
Then the movie started.
There was a first trailer which was good, but then there was a second trailer.
And then the movie started and then it was just garbage. So Andrew, we're moving on to what now?
So next week in our classic film, we'll be moving on to Paths of Glory by Stanley Kubrick.
Fair enough. I still want to
That's not classic.
Yes, it
enough.
Is.
Enough.
Breakfast
Kubrick.
At Tiffany's.
Yeah, that's...
We haven't done any women's... The reason
but
I
Breakfast
put it there...
Breakfast at Tiffany's is so big, and I've seen that one already. I'll just come here and be like, I like it.
So, Damien saw all of the movies.
No, this is supposed to be... No, this is supposed to make me watch movies that I wouldn't
yes,
normally
watch. We've made
watch
you watch
them.
Like around six.
You're going to say, oh, I've seen that before. And I can say that about pretty much all of the old movies that we're going to see. I'm like, I've tore through all of them.
And we're going to basically end our classic film marathon in a few weeks, so...
A few weeks or 2 weeks?
And then we can move on to another marathon.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Gangster movie marathon.
Actually, I've been thinking, what about westerns? Like a western
again,
marathon.
Maybe western, but I'm not sure.
We'll discuss it.
Yeah,
we'll discuss it. And we'll let everyone know.
Yes.
Right. But now we're going to get into the news of the week. Right?
No. We need a song.
All right, come on. Let's do it right now.
No. We're moving straight. How about no?
All right. So one thing that came out this week, it kind of came out and came back, is that Darren Aronofsky was supposed to do RoboCop. And then it was rumored for like at less than 24 hours that he had dropped out from RoboCop. And then today it came back that he's back in RoboCop. And I guess this isn't really news, but I wanted to have a chance for us to talk about RoboCop and what we thought about Darren Aronofsky trying to do RoboCop and what we think he can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I know Damon is action junkie, so I'll ignore him.
Uh-huh.
Douglas, what do you think about RoboCop and then Darren Aronofsky trying to do
what
RoboCop?
What do I think about RoboCop? It's an action movie from the 90s that was...
Wasn't it an 80s?
Oh, yeah. 80s, 90s. It's all a blur. It's the same thing.
It was extremely violent.
It was extremely violent. And that was... about it.
Yeah, it's pretty much...
There's nothing else to that movie.
That's pretty much it.
But there is a certain... What's the word? Je ne sais quoi about...
No, you can't use that word.
What does that mean?
It means I don't know what in French.
Oh.
But people say that because it sounds cool. You know, it's like you can say you have a certain joie de vivre.
Why did
all that means is spice to life in French. Again, you know, people
why
say all of these things.
People enjoy that. No, you're taking it away.
Anyway, yeah, it just has this the non-stop gore and violence. There's this thing about it that kind of draws you to it, almost like a car that's gotten smashed in the middle of the road.
A place for that type of movie? No.
No? I think there is. Have you watched a little film by the name of Shoot 'Em Up?
Yeah, but
no, but that was more cartoony than RoboCop.
Yeah, no, you're quite right. That was very cartoonish.
So, if you're going to... First of all, it's a robot man, which will have no play. Well, not, if he looks like that, he will have no play.
Hold on. What about the new Rambo? That movie was violent for violence's sake. They could have... If they put all the blood that spilt in that movie into a container, you could drown a town, a small town
movie,
in it.
But that movie was also not good.
No, but my point is, violence does have a... It does have a place.
Yeah,
that level of violence does have a place.
But
more
gratuitous violence.
Yes.
I mean, to have... I don't... Maybe if they market it well. Maybe if Aronofsky has some grand vision for... Because I don't really like to talk about story in action movies. But you're going to need to come up with something to explain...
You don't like to talk about story in action movies because they're generally not good or because you don't think it's necessary?
No, because
it's
you don't need a
wants.
Great story. No, no.
Because it's not necessary.
Been,
I
right.
see. Okay.
There's,
no, sorry.
Right. So not every movie will be Lord of the Rings. You can't have every movie have everything. Great acting, great action, and great story. It's kind of hard. Which is why there's very few of them that have managed to pull it off. But there are still great action movies that everybody loves that the story is paper thin. Right? So you don't need a phenomenal story, but you need something to draw people in. Because when you, if you have the trailer and it's just a metal man shooting up shit, people just going to confuse it for Terminator. Right?
But what do you think, what would you say to me if I said to you that I believe, and I'm not saying that I do believe this, but if I said that I believe that Darren Aronofsky's RoboCop could be... Is it coming out next year or the year after?
I think it's 10 next year.
Could be next year's The Dark Knight.
I'd say pretty... I really like Aronofsky. And if he can give it a Dark Knight-ish treatment, then maybe... Like, I don't have any... I won't... Like, when I saw this story and I didn't go, oh, shit, they didn't know about RoboCop. Right? Because Aronofsky's name is attached to it. If they said,
Uwe Ball.
No. That's too easy.
Michael Bay.
If... Again, too easy. Like, I need another director.
Sam Mendes.
Right. If they said that Sam Mendes is doing it. Oh, God.
Really?
Really, guys? But our M. Night.
No. I'd call that one too easy.
Like you said, right? Didn't you just say a while ago that he only has a half a movie?
Yes. Yes.
I disagree. I say
I don't
two,
give a
but.
Shit.
Thus,
he has half.
Your second movie is incorrect, sir.
Right?
I'd say the same about yours.
The second, Bruce Willis found out that the kids see that he saw dead people, that movie was done. Right, and he didn't make another good movie after that.
Okay then.
Shit, what do you people think? You're all wrong.
So I guess we're all on the basis that RoboCop we're kind of iffy about, but Darren Aronofsky, give it the chance.
Well, I'm not sure
see.
If. Yeah, right. I'm always saying, you know, I wait to see, and I still am waiting to see.
So I'm not.
But,
because, like, the Karate Kid, I don't even want to see that shit.
No, yeah, we don't need to see that at all.
Exactly. A lot of movies, when they get announced, I look at them and I really don't care. If the trailer is good, maybe. But if not, then I'll just assume I'm right and never watch the movie.
Okay, then. Douglas sent me this article, which was really a poster for the new John Travolta film, From Paris with Love. And if you've seen this poster, I'll link it in the show notes. It's... A guy with a gun holding the trigger, but the barrel is
the tower.
The Eiffel Tower from Paris. So
Eiffel Tower somewhere else? No?
I think there is. No, I'm wrong. I'm just I made a mistake and I'm letting Damien make me pay for it. Douglas is holding it in. He does just his pants.
Oh, I don't like Rick's podcast.
He made that face.
I was just so ecstatic over your mistake, Andrew. That's what it was.
So Douglas, why did you send me this damn poster? Because I mean, well, this poster is stupid.
I thought that this is exactly what would happen. It would generate some sort of conversation. Because as we discovered earlier today, or by earlier today I mean a half an hour ago, I think this poster is utter rubbish. You think it's okay. Damien thinks it's amazing.
I think it's awesome. I think it's something that looks like someone looked at the Crank posters, all four of them, from the first one and the second one, and said, okay, a guy having his hand pointing up is cool. Now we have a film that's set in Paris. What's Paris about? Paris is about the Eiffel Tower. Everyone sees the Eiffel Tower and you think Paris. And then it's an action movie. We need a gun. How do we get all three of these things in one poster?
There's Paris and guns. And Jonathan Rhys Meyers.
Exactly. Hold on, that's what question. I'm saying, by the way.
Travolta, not so much. But Rhys Meyers, I'll give him.
You give him what?
Hold on. Question, because I'm kind of shady. Who is Rhys Meyers again?
Tudors.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I hate Tudors, but hold on.
Yeah, so here's the thing, right? I think that this is extremely cheesy. You've got, like you say, the gun and the hand pointing up and the Eiffel Tower. Who cares? Give me a poster that looks good. This poster does not look good in any way. Nothing. And on top of it, there are two extra factors that you're forgetting. One being John Travolta and the other being Jonathan Rhys Meyers.
Right?
John Rhys Meyers being one of the worst actors in the
motherfucker, right? Give me my money, because I have a train. That's John Travolta.
Travolta. Okay. there you go.
So the poster has nothing to do with the movie. Right, it's not how I feel about the movie.
Because
the name sounds pretty lame.
Yeah.
But I do like the poster.
No, the poster, it's
so, question, if you were able to get a copy from Palace Amusement like we did before, would you nick it?
No.
No?
No, it's not that awesome. No, but I only take posters of movies that are awesome, which is why I took the Cloverfield poster, because I love that movie. And all that poster is green water and a couple of buildings torn down. It's not that great a poster.
If I didn't care the speed race of poster,
when you attach it to the movie that it came with, it becomes far more. People have come into my room and like, what the hell is this movie about?
Question, just as a reminder, because I think it's this film. Is this the movie that the trailer came out where like John Travolta's all bald and he has this scene?
No. Where, is it? Well,
where he has a scene where it's like Ronin and he like does the...
Isn't that movie the remake to your favorite thing, Precinct 13B or whatever it is?
District
B13? District, yeah, there you go.
I don't know if that's the remake.
No, I believe that trailer all I know is the remake. I don't know if this is the same movie.
If that is the movie, if this is indeed the movie that the trailer came out for, then I have no hope for this movie. It could be good.
And just to give you a couple more details on the film, Luc Besson wrote it.
Well, that actually helps.
And it's going to be directed.
You don't know who Luc Besson is?
He's the guy who directed La Femme Nikita,
The Fifth Element,
The Professional.
Hold on, just to add even more. Taken.
It's directed by Pierre Morel, who directed Taken, and Luc Besson wrote Taken. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, the writing of Taken wasn't the best.
But you know, just to tell you the combo package.
The Professional, and anyone has anything to do with that movie is okay in my
I have that DVD. I love it to tears. Anyways, moving on. Another news item that came out this week: Shia LaBeouf still wants to be Why the Last Man.
Okay.
Good.
You haven't read any of this book, have you?
No.
I've read like half of it, Douglas.
And I read the first volume, I think. But either first volume or first issue, I don't know. I'm not sure.
Just to let everyone know what this story is about, it's...
He's the last man.
Yes.
Aha.
Something happens in the world and every man, every male organism dies except for this one man. and all the women are. And no, it doesn't turn out so.
Think about what you're saying. You're the only man in the world.
What you do is you get a nice fat calendar, mm-hmm. and you, you know.
I remember when I was just...
That's what you think.
I remember when I was just starting to read comic books again. I mean, we had gotten into Preacher, and I read the first half of these books. Like, they're like 60 issues. I've read 30. And I stopped, and I decided I'm going to wait until Vertigo has issued the complete book collection, because they're going to release that. I think it might. I have to check, because I need to get that. This is awesome. I mean, I remember a few months ago they were throwing around rumors that Alicia Keys was going to be playing the female role lead in the movie, and that would throw me up a tizzy, but shall be as the lead? I don't know, because, I mean...
Wait, stop. I thought Disturbia was the greatest movie
ever. I'm coming to that. I'm coming to this, right? You know my feelings...
Never be a classic. It's better than a timeless classic.
You know my feelings about Shia and Disturbia. But at the same time, we have things to draw on, like Indiana Jones 4, you know, and that shit just doesn't go well.
That was his fault.
Right? You'd like to say that, but he was crapping it. So, and on top of which...
No, honestly though, Andrew, if you're told to do something a certain way, and then you do it that way, is it your fault?
Exactly. Nothing could have stopped Lucas with that move. I mean, it was bad for me.
Spielberg having a backbone could have stopped that.
Yeah, but we know that he doesn't. So,
and the director from Eagle Eye and
DJ Caruso.
So this movie
and
is
Disturbio.
All right.
DJ Caruso is going to be directing this film. So
as soon as this time Alicia Keys, we can just write off this movie and I'll read the book.
So Douglas, you sent me this one. What do you think about it?
Well, this was more like a follow-up. I didn't really think this would generate this much talk and banter. Essentially, I was going to say, ha, told you so. Remember when we talked about this earlier, I said that he said it in a very stupid way. You know, he said it in a way that it was clear that he didn't mean... I never want to do this movie. He said something like, oh, yes, right now I don't think it's the right thing for me. Which clearly means, I want some more money, give it to me, bitches. So, he's on his way to get the money.
Give me the money!
Yeah. So, the movie, expect it out within the next 2 years, 2011. Put down a date, summer. It's going to be a summer blockbuster. Alright?
Written down.
Yep.
Another thing you sent me, a damn poster again.
This is a little bit more than a poster, though.
Okay, you tell me what this is, because I have no clue what I'm
reading. Okay, what? No clue? You didn't read it? Okay, this is a very cool-looking poster, but not just a cool-looking poster, but a cool-sounding premise. So it's called Paperman, starring Jeff Daniels, who I had written off originally, but now with a lot of his stuff that he's doing, I'm starting to have a lot of respect for him, as well as... Ryan Reynolds, who I have no respect for, but I love him.
I actually think he's the only thing that's...
If anyone can get me to love Van Wilder, come on.
Yeah, he's... I don't know. I think I have an unhealthy attraction.
Actually, I've heard really good things about his new movie, The Proposal.
I saw the trailer and I went, this could work.
Yeah. I actually thought it was going to be shit.
Have you seen her other trailer she has?
Oh, yes. It looks horrendous. So
what
the one where she's following the weatherman.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
She's stalking the weatherman.
Bad.
I have no clue.
It's awful.
You don't need to know.
No, just don't ever watch it. Anyway.
Believe me, you know when you see it.
Anyway, we're talking about this movie called The Paper Man. And essentially, I think the way they describe it is a coming to middle age type movie where Jeff Daniels has this superhero in his head, and the superhero is Paperman, played by Ryan Reynolds. And
yeah, this movie is awesome.
I can just imagine how you could use something like that in a movie scenario, in a dark comic scenario. I love it.
The premise kind of reminds me of this other movie I want to watch, which I haven't seen yet, called Special.
Yes.
Michael Rapaport,
where he thinks he has superpowers, but he's just insane.
Why can't we have good theaters that put out awesome in
I know. Speaking of good theaters, we don't have one, but guess what? I have been told that a trailer has been playing. And you know what trailer that is? The Brothers Bloom.
Yes! I think I have to amend my
Yes, you do! So, it seems as if it might even be coming out next week.
Hold on, we have to wait until we actually see it in theaters, because we still don't see it.
Exactly.
The Soloist.
The Soloist still hasn't come out yet.
We never know.
Even though that was hugely billed inside of the Gleaner.
So you're saying that Kerb don't have a clue?
No, not at all.
Essentially, that's exactly what I'm saying. But I would go even further. I wouldn't say it was Kerb, because guess what? Kerb is just the
employee.
It's just the smaller cog inside the larger thing that is Palace Amusement. Exactly. They don't know what the hell they're doing.
I hear that they're fixing the shittiest.
So I hear, and I'm
it's closed for renovations this week, and it'll be open back on Friday.
Oh, so they won't be putting in anything good.
That's where Brothers Bloom is going to be.
Going by information that I can gather, I think what they're doing is they're installing digital 3D.
And who cares?
Useless technology. I
actually,
Avatar comes out next year, we can still not give a shit.
I actually think 3D can be a really cool
thing. And I think you're a crazy person. Think about what
have
you're
you seeing.
Yes,
have you seen 3D films? What 3D films?
No,
have you
I haven't seen any 3D
you know
films.
What, you
I've
know
seen
what?
The
Not
tech.
Only have I seen 3D films.
I've seen the
I have
tech.
Felt CD th- 3D films.
In your brain.
In my
head.
Okay, alright. Oh. Alright, Douglas. Alright.
No, I know
all
what right. you're going to say. The new
people,
technology
people have
doesn't
said
hurt.
The new technology
yeah.
doesn't hurt you as much. So the question I have for you is it just the pain of watching the red-blue? Can you separate that pain for a second and ask yourself, do you think watching a movie in 3D
Andrew.
A good thing?
I don't think it's a good or a bad thing. I think it can be an interesting experience. But what I think about 3D is a lot of movies that are made for 3D are very...
childlike.
Not
gimmicky.
Childlike.
Gimmicky.
That's the word I'm looking right. for.
So,
right? It doesn't. It's not all child stuff.
So,
but it's gimmicky and it...
So this is the question I pose to you. I've seen... better 3D technology than is currently available now. Sony and some other companies are working on 240Hz TV that by itself changed the app, right? The problem with all of this technology is that you need something additional.
That's
to
exactly
use it. You
what I
was
going
to
say.
You have to put on a pair of glasses.
No, we
don't
wear
glasses.
Glasses.
So now for me and you who are, you know, optically impaired, we have to put on these glasses over our original glasses or find some way to get both glasses on at the same time, which is A, really uncomfortable.
Actually,
and
I've
B,
never thought about
it. Really annoying.
I've
right?
never thought about that because I don't wear my glasses when I watch movies.
Right? No, no matter what they do with 3D technology, all it's going to do is provide a bit of depth. But if you shoot the movie properly, you don't need, I don't need to think that I can reach out and feel shit on the TV. Have you ever felt that need? You're watching a movie and like, if right. only I could punch that guy.
Alright, question.
And
question.
Actually hit.
Oh, question.
What?
Question. Do we need IMAX?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's better video and it should be better audio. Can you replicate that's right. a 9-foot building?
So do we need a screen tall enough that even if you're at the back of the theater, you have to cock your head up like this?
No,
to
but
see the
you,
movie.
Shouldn't, you shouldn't have to do that. They should put the seat in a way that you don't strain your neck to see it. So, if they do that, and you're there's someone at the base of
so,
the street,
so they have to build
done
a theater,
it wrong.
They have to build a theater that's the length of like 10 blocks so that you can be far back enough that the screen doesn't look
exactly
that tall.
Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, back to this 3D technology thing. I think that movies could benefit from it, but I don't think that it should be a norm. I think that, you know, it could be cool, but at the same time, I hate the fucking glasses. If you're going to come with some 3D, come with something that I don't have to put on extra headwear for.
And they can't do that because right. they're projected on a blank.
I'm going to do this one by one. You started out by saying most movies that are made for 3D are gimmicky.
Yes, but I didn't want that to be like a sticking point. I didn't want to make it sound like that was a part of
things.
My argument. Because like,
no.
like
Cameron says he's going to revolutionize his 3D shit.
Exactly.
And Cameron is a liar, much like Peter Molyneux. So I'll believe you when I see it with these people. They talk mad game. These people mad
Hold
game.
No.
But at the same time, guess what? Everybody said, you know, sound is a gimmick. And
No, no one has ever. I've no, never heard
back,
it.
Back yeah, in the back 30s in the when it just came. Yeah.
Oh, so no, back when...
But that's
when Adam wore the earth.
Listen, we could be on the cusp of that change, which is possible. I'm not saying that we are. No, I'm not saying that we are, but that is how sound right. was viewed. Now we're viewing 3D right. in the same way. So I'm not saying that just because most of the stuff now is gimmicky means that right. I don't want 3D.
To come across as that.
Yeah.
The reason why I brought up Peter Molyneux, who, if you people don't know, he does games. And
Cameron. The Sims dude?
No, he's the Fable dude.
Oh, but I like and Black Fable.
And
White.
Yes. We all like their games and we all like their movies. The thing is, before these movies come out, these guys talk mad shit about these movies. What they tell you that the movie's going to be, when you get... if you believe a word that they say, when you sit in that theater and you see that it's pretty much a regular movie or a regular game... you want to find him and punch him in the face. Because that is straight lie. Right? Cameron, if Cameron can do it. Because him and I think Mitsubishi have some deal together at E3. They had some prototype 103-inch TV that did true 3D or whatever the hell they're calling it. And apparently it was amazing. I didn't see it.
Right. He claims that his technology that he's shooting with is fantastic. You hear the stories about how what he did was, I guess it must have been a bunch of green screens and body suits and thing. But he would have the camera and the background and the scenery and even the clothes and stuff that were on the actors could be changed and manipulated in real time, which I thought was a fantastic thing. I thought that's really cool.
Right. But until, if they can do it, because I love technology. If it can be done, I think it should be done. And I like that they're going for 3D.
Yeah.
But the technology where it is now, no. And the technology that Kirby is going to get back to the point is going to be shit. I know that. You know that.
I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely not. Kirby has to prove... I don't give Kirby the benefit of
question,
anything.
Question. When Kirby opened back, at that point...
Reopened.
Sorry. At that point, they had the best system that you could have had at that point.
They had five rooms.
Yeah, right.
And a screen and some speakers.
Right.
That's
it
what
was
they had.
Never at no point was Carib the best. Anything that you could have had. No, Andrew, you're very wrong.
You know what? In the box section they have seats that and back. So apparently I think that must be what Andrew's talking about. You know, you could rock your seats. Yeah.
Alright.
So, are they going to get the vibration seats and vibrate with the movie?
They rebuilt it in 98,
something like that.
Right. I remember it was it's probably a year after I started Campion or what, because I saw the first Jurassic Park movie after I graduated, and that was before it went down and then it came back. And when it came back, not so much. I'd seen, even then when I wasn't paying attention, I'd seen better video than that. And I didn't know anything about others.
I think
so
I went
to
the drive-in to see Jurassic Park.
No,
so
we didn't.
Speak
we went to
that.
Palace. We went but, to the Sovereign.
But now, how many, 10 years later, it is really sad.
Anyway,
if they fix video and audio, then maybe...
We've said this before.
Yeah.
It's fucking nonsense.
No more hating. So, right. Next.
The Oscars are going to change what they do. Usually every year for Best Picture, they nominate 5 films. From now on, they're going to nominate 10.
So instead of having 2 picks that shouldn't be in there, they're going to have... 6. So there's going to be proper picks that people will agree with, and then there'll be 6 that you go.
Question. Looking back at last year's Oscars and movies that came out last year, do you think you can name 10 movies that should be in a Best Picture category?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah. Say it.
Go. You know you want to say it.
So what?
The movie that should
No. I'm pretty sure that they could find 10 movies.
So, but the 10 movies that could compete.
Right. They could find 10 movies that can compete. The problem is that when you pick 10, right, we don't need 10 movies. They can narrow it down to 5. And they were narrowing it down to 5. The problem was that they usually pick one or two movies that shouldn't be in there. Everyone kind of agrees. Yeah, that movie kind of should have been.
And you know what my problem with this is? It's not a real... It kind of is a problem, but it's not like, oh, I'm really angry about this. But are they actually increasing the number of nominees for any other award?
I don't think so. Why not?
Why is it that all of the other awards have 5 and these guys have 10?
The problem I have with this, though, is that
because this is one that people bitch about.
With that little thing on it, nominated for best. That's my real problem. Right, and they're going to pick 2 or 3 movies that in no way should ever be nominated for the best picture of anything, and it's going to have it on the DVD box nominated for best picture. Can start dreaming up more and more about this.
So you think this is just another way for them to?
It's news.
First of all, up sales in the Hollywood by giving other films credit. 2, making fans shut up by shouting all the while, why isn't that movie nominated?
You know what though? They're trying that, but it's not gonna work. You know why?
Because we'll still find movies to be like, why isn't that one
exactly.
there?
Exactly. I mean, like, in 1 year, there is never going to be only 10 good movies. You know, you're not going to say, oh, you know what? You're right. My movie that I love did not deserve to be the best picture.
This is perfect.
Yeah, The Love Guru should have definitely been up there.
No one will ever say that.
Oh.
No. And if you find someone that will say that, punch him in the face.
They deserve to live.
No, your brothers are crazy.
Alright, last news item this week is that the Spielberg Will Smith remake of Old Boy that's been scheduled might not happen due to a lawsuit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, I saw that. What was it? Apparently, the holding company that now owns the rights,
Futabasha,
yeah,
the guy who owns the rights to this manga, is saying, no, I don't want you to do this fucking movie. I'm suing you if you dare.
No, that's not how it works. There's something to do with the way that the deal was structured. And so,
the American company
or the company that holds the distribution rights for the Western part of the world messed up somewhere and did something wrong.
I'm going to read this straight off the website, right? This is straight,
which website is this?
This is off Slash Film, and this is Slash Film quoting ANN, which is Anime News Network, right? Futabasha is suing to confirm the lack of a binding contract between the two parties due to an alleged breach.
Exactly, breach.
Futabasha asserts that Show East violated its basic agreement with Futabasha and thus nullified it.
Mm-hmm.
When Show West pushed for the production of a film remake with America's Universal Pictures, Show East signed its contract with Futabasha over film rights in September of 2002 and signed a second contract in December of 2003 that amended the original one to cover other materials. And by other materials, they're talking about this manga rather than the actual film.
Yeah, so you can't... The world doesn't work, you know, like how you want it to work. Where if I say, oh, you know what? I don't like the people involved in this movie. I'm going to sue them because I don't want them to make that movie. No. Clearly, he was allowing them to make the movie. You know why?
Why?
Because he fucking signed a contract that says, you can make my movie. What happened was, there are a lot of paragraphs in these contracts that you sign over to allow people to make your movie. Mm-hmm. One of them was broken. And if one is broken, clearly there's a clause that says that everything can be broken. And that's what he's suing over.
Right, he's finding a sticking point and he's using it against them.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want... For whatever reason, he doesn't want them to make the film. Now, as you people know, lawyers are criminals.
My dad is a lawyer.
They're very smart.
They're
going to go to court, and I'm sure Universal will have their big guns against whoever the hell these people are, and they'll try to con the judge one way or another. And if the judge signs finds in favor of Universal, he can cry all he wants. They're exactly. still remaking the movie.
And they might just. Judge just found against Jamie Thomas.
I don't. $80,000 US per song.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that on Twitter. I was listening to Twitter and they mentioned
she
that.
She now owes $1.2 million.
Did you hear about how the first case she owed, like, how much?
Yeah, like,
and then they got thrown out by a mistrial.
Jamie Thomas.
No idea.
This mother who had 24 songs shared on some network, like a Kazaa or something, and they found her, the RIAA, and they sued her for these 24 songs, and she instead of being like everyone else who's gotten caught and saying, all right, here's your money, she was like, fuck you, I'm fighting this, right? And they went to court, and the initial court, how it goes, how I heard it on Twitter, was the initial trial was thrown out because RIAA gave the judge misinformation and told them that instead of, it wasn't that you had to prove that people downloaded the song from you, you had to prove that people could download the song from you, which is wrong. You have to prove that people have downloaded, right? And she was found guilty in the first one, and she was fined like 8,000, you said?
Either 8,000 or
800 per song.
Some not a large amount.
But then that was thrown out in the end, and then they did a retrial. And now she's been found guilty with $80,000 per song, which puts her in that bracket that says that she has to go bankrupt.
She can just fight it again. Appeal to a higher court and fight it somewhere.
But either way, she's actually publicly said, you know, come and get me.
Yeah.
Because when she's essentially what she's saying is she doesn't have the money, so, you know.
Anytime in
her. Exactly. What you gonna do?
She's gonna have to file chapter 11.
Chapter 11.
But I'm not American.
She's not American though. I think she's from Australia.
I thought there was an American. So,
not sure. Maybe I'm wrong.
She's probably American. I don't think they can go to whatever. So there is, I think it's in France. I'm not sure exactly.
Oh, the three strike law?
No. So there's some country that's suing for Google execs. Because I think it's in France. I'm not sure, so don't hold me to that. There was a video on one of Google video services of some child with Down syndrome being teased by some other children. And so the state is suing for Google execs for allowing this video to go on. And we know what the situation with Google is, where Google... they don't see the content. They just provide a place for the content to go.
Didn't you realize that every video on YouTube is actually placed there by each and every one of its CEOs?
No.
You didn't know that?
Right. So, I heard this and I thought, this doesn't have a chance in hell. But, apparently it's a bit more serious. I'm like, oh, this is nonsense. BBC, why are you telling me these foolishness? Apparently, they're saying that these people are in charge of moderating the videos, and there needs to be systems in place to check all the videos before they go up. Because yes, you provide somewhere for people to put on their videos, but it can't be allowed for that anyone can put any video on the site.
So
it isn't allowed because you can flag videos and whatever, and people who own the rights can say whatever. And they were told by I think the parents of the child that they need to tear down the videos. And it was an automated process, so they went, this video should be red flag for whatever. And Google
That happens to me.
Google pulled it down. But they're saying, no, it should have gone up on the first place, whatever. And they're suing these... I think it's France, I still remember. But, I mean, if the judge rules in their favor...
In the favor of Google?
No, not in the favor of Google. In the favor of the state that are suing them.
Yeah.
Like, Google could be boned. Because France is, or whatever the countries is, are part of the European Union.
Uh-huh.
And it could get to a point where not only is the law passed in that place, but in the entire...
Throughout Europe, yeah.
Right, European Union. But which would force Google to hire... like some ridiculous number of moderators.
Exactly.
So hold on, question, because in the last year, Google has allowed HD video.
Yeah.
Google has added the ability, they've taken off the time limit cap on videos you upload. So people can actually upload like their 2-hour student films. What happens? Do they have to sit through shitty 2-hour movies every time someone uploads it?
Like, that is basically.
And I mean,
what I mean, it for us it doesn't make sense. Like the horse has gone through the gate, or there's some shitty metaphor. All right, but like for us, we can see it. We can see how this works. Because we're not lawyers. The reason that this is happening is because some lawyer found some loophole somewhere and is bringing this to court.
Yeah, but seriously, if you think about it, I mean,
no, it's
just
impossible. No, we understand, but not even
just that. But let's think about it from a common sense view. And I know people are not going to, but yeah, but think about it. Is it really illegal? Yes, it's not nice. But is it illegal to tease somebody?
No, they're
and
not
like,
talking
you know,
about
to put it online.
Right, so they're not. That is why you know,
this
lawyers
is almost,
get paid
this is
that
almost
much money
because
they're not arguing.
Scenario.
They're not arguing that, you know, that people shouldn't be able to put certain types of videos online, like the bullying or whatever.
They're
not.
They're saying
that.
They're saying only copyrighted.
They're
copyrighted
saying
material.
They're saying that there needs to be a process where people so someone would have had to look at the video and say this might not go down so well and contact whoever put up the video and say, you know, all like these parties in the video may object, so either you get approval from the parties and then we put it up, or we can't put it up. That is basically what the courts are for. We know this is madness. There's millions of people uploading millions of movies every day. Is this going to be really hard for you to get a team?
And then,
unless they're going to hire everybody in a small
company. How do they confirm that these parties are actually signing off? Like, exactly. How do they know who these people are?
I mean,
when you watch the video,
that is not the problem for the state. That is Google's problem. That's basically what they're arguing. Yeah, it's difficult. But you guys should have thought about this from before. That's basically what they're arguing. And I really don't think it will be passed, but stranger things have happened.
Alright, let's end that there.
Whoa, we've really gone on a bit of a tangent.
Yeah, we did. We became a tech podcast for a little while. A tech and a legal podcast. Anyway, we're going to move into trailers now. And we're going to start off with the teaser trailer that came out a couple days ago for Avatar The Last Airbender.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one. Bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Damien, you're a fan of the show. What
yes.
did you think? Other than your hatred for Shyamalan.
Fine. I think that they should have taken this money and made a cartoon movie. As it is a cartoon and would appeal to all the people who already watch the cartoon. Or is it that because Disney no longer makes money on cartoon movies, everyone has decided that, if it doesn't look like a Pixar movie, clearly it's going to fail. Cartoon that it's based on is pretty good. It's one of the few cartoons that I've seen on these networks now that I actually like. Most of them just seem horrible. It's not, oh my goodness, it's the best cartoon I've ever seen. but it's good enough and it deserves a movie. And they did do some small movies within the series, and those were always like the best episodes, because clearly more money was spent and they took a longer time and told one solid story over like what would be a regular 3-episode span. And they're good. Shyamalan, as I said, he's done half a good movie. It looks really lame. Like, the teaser is bad. It's a bad teaser. Nothing I saw here made me excited about anything that's going to happen in this movie. The guy moves wind, and they didn't make it look awesome in that trailer at all. I'm not even going to hope that this movie is good, because M. Night is doing it and he hasn't made a good movie. Right? People might disagree, but I don't give a shit. He made half a good movie and this will be bad. Have you ever seen him do action? Because I haven't. And this has to be an action heavy movie. If he turns this into a drama, I'm going to find him wherever he is and punch him in the face and kill his children. Hey, I'm taking it far.
That's a bit rough.
The Mike Tyson road. I'm going to eat his kids. Punch his wife. I'm tired of
when the movie comes out, and one way or the other, are you going to like say, you know, I said it just for the traffic?
What?
Just for you said it just to get downloads on the podcast and
said
so.
Well,
okay. Hang on. I'm going to say something, and it's gonna, you know. Stab. Mm-hmm. It can't be for the traffic if it's never online.
Oh! That's not bad.
Oh. Pain.
Alright. My hatred of M. Night aside, he's never done action. Clearly cannot tell a story. And the teaser looks bad. I mean, if this was any other movie, we'd have gone, alright, this movie's nonsense. I'm pretty sure Douglas is going to agree. This movie looks like
this
nonsense.
This movie does not look good.
It looks like nonsense. Andrew saw
Did you not hear what I said?
Right. Andrew saw something that he likes. No clue what he's looking at. I can lend you the series and test
well,
the series.
You know what?
Really,
you know what?
Fun,
it makes sense. Because Andrew has always had an irrational enjoyment for blowing up birthday candles.
Ah!
What are you talking about?
You should see him.
I mean, up to now, you know, every time he insists,
the candles,
he insists that he gets the total number of candles on the cake as he is.
Can I tell you? I wait for the day that I turn 100 so that I can like do the whole stick thing and blow the candles.
You're stupid.
By hitting the stick into the ground.
I'm not going to come back to this.
No, I have to say that I actually like this teaser. I mean, I'm a huge.
But what exactly do you
Alright,
like?
I'm about to tell you. I mean, I haven't watched a show, and I told you I want to watch it. Lend me the DVDs, I'll watch it. I am a huge fan of anime, and this the things that you see in here remind me a lot of like fantasy style anime. You know, you have, and I think that's what the show was going for, and that's what the show achieved.
So maybe
that they're giving me 20 seconds that kind of gives me a little bit of the show, which is what I'm interested in, and then the movie will be crap. But I'm still interested. They still gave me that little bit that I go like, that can be kind of cool.
Did we see the same trailer?
I followed him down the rabbit hole.
I'll ask him, right? So Andrew, in the trailer that you saw, was it just somebody in a robe spinning a stick?
Poorly.
Okay, I'd like to say yes, but what I saw was not just somebody in a robe spinning a stick.
Oh, yes.
Somebody,
fires went out too.
But somebody who was able to control wind. And then there are these other countries or factions which are fire,
water,
and earth.
We didn't see that. The audio said that
there have these other things and they're coming to kill him because he's the last of his kind and stuff. And that reminds me a lot of a lot of fantasy anime kind of stuff. And I'm sold right now.
That just goes to show, you know what I got from the audio? I heard, chosen one, they will kill him, he bends air. That's all I got from it.
Seriously, this trailer
chose one instead of last one.
Has made me think back on whether I like the series. Like, this trailer is so bad, I kind of doubting like the goodness of the series that it's based on.
Yeah, I've actually heard people talk about it from people that have watched the show before, and they say it's all it is, it's really a children's cartoon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like, you know, any fancy Japanese anime or anything.
Right.
It's just
and
kids
because
show.
Because they've kept it simple and they're telling one story. They're not trying to flesh out all this other madness or try to make things look more awesome.
Like Buffy?
Like Dragon Ball Z.
Because Buffy's awesome.
They've pretty much just gone, alright, so there's this youth who can do this, and there's some other people that can do this, and he needs to get from here to there. Let's go. And that's basically what they do. Yeah, it's not a cartoon that you're going to go, wow, you know, this is phenomenal. But children will enjoy it, and you know why children will enjoy it. Because it's fun to watch. And, you know, they don't take everything too seriously. But the grand story that they're telling is a pretty interesting story. So you find yourself watching it week after week, which is what these cartoons are supposed to do. They won't get any of that. Any other, if they even try and tell the grand story, it's going to be done very badly. Unless they intend to do one piece of the story in the first movie, because they're planning a trilogy. And if they're doing that, good lord, this movie is going to be bad. But what? I have no faith in this movie. There's nothing about the second I heard that they were making a live action version of this movie, I knew there was.
Hold on, stop. I don't want to hear anymore. You hate it. I hate it. You love it. Next trailer.
I actually wanted to call him on something.
No. What?
Next
what?
Trailer.
Wait. What are you calling him?
I actually remember, and I'm sure I can pull up the podcast when you said this, where you were excited for this movie until I told you that it was Shyamalan. So it wasn't the fact that it was live action.
It was the fact that there's this crazy bastard that's doing the movie. It's just like if you heard a product, say Bleach. If you heard that they're making a live action Bleach, you'd go,
yeah, you that's insane.
Right. And if you heard Uwe Boll, you'd have gone, this is the worst idea I've ever heard. But if you heard Christopher Nolan was doing Bleach, all that you thought before, you'd have gone, this movie's going to be so
awesome. No, but you
see,
that's not my point.
No,
you
but
just said, and I quote, I heard that there was a live action Avatar right. movie,
so
this was crazy.
Right, so I misspoke. When I heard that there was a live action thing, yeah, you know, but the second you told me it was M. Night, it was nonsense.
Okay, alright, that's
trailer.
All I wanted to say.
Next trailer.
Moving on. The next trailer that came out this week was the first trailer for Roland Emmerich's 2012.
Mayan calendar, which predicts the end of time to occur on the 21st of December of this year. This year.
What are the odds?
So what did you think about this trailer, Douglas?
The first, I don't know, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, looked really cool, really neat. I like, you know,
The documentary style,
exactly. Almost, it was a little bit reminiscent of a movie you talked about, and I love Cloverfield.
Yeah.
And then I saw John Cusack. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm a huge John Cusack fan. I love him in a lot of his earlier stuff not even his earlier stuff. His early stuff, his middle stuff. And every once in a while, he's in a good thing now, too. But he did this thing. He was just like, I don't know what the hell he did. But
that reminded me of 1408.
I enjoyed that movie.
I didn't like it at all.
I didn't watch it, so I don't know. But it looked like I would not enjoy it. Anyway, back to the trailer. Ever since that point,
it looked awful. And then I realized, you know why it looked awful? Because it's from the guy that gave us The Day After Tomorrow, an awful movie. Gave us Independence Day. I loved the movie at the time, but I'm pretty sure if I watch it again...
Didn't he also do 10,000 BC?
Yeah.
Oh. He also did 10,000 BC, yes, which sir. I haven't even but got up watch. The
mother to watch.
Yeah. So, no.
I have to say that I'm the complete opposite of Douglas. I still think this movie is going to be utter trash. However, my enjoyment of this trailer, the first 10 seconds, I was like, whatever, whatever. Then John Cusack came on and I was like, oh, John Cusack, that might be good. And then blowing shit up came. And I think what also added to it was the fact that I'm watching it now on HD screens and seeing it in HD, and that looks brilliant. When you saw the chapel come down and run over all this group of people, it made me think that's what they should have done in Angels and Demons.
Alright, so I'm kind of an action junkie, but that's not what why
we
I
never
like
knew that.
This scenario, I like this scenario a lot. Any movie that deals with the end of the world, I'm pretty much guaranteed to watch. I don't like a lot of them, but I do like ones that are objectively bad. Deep Impact. Deep Impact, fair
you
enough.
Like Deep Impact?
A lot.
I remember liking it when it came out, but I was 12, so...
I'm a big Armageddon
people,
fan.
Right, a lot That's of... No, funny. Like Armageddon, everybody yeah. knows. A lot of people didn't like Day After Tomorrow. I actually really liked that movie. But this, I think he finally got how the world ends right. he's going all out to destroy the world.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a trailer a couple of weeks ago, The Road.
Yeah.
Where it's after the world ended, how people survived and whatever. A lot of people just jump past how the world ends. It's always post-apocalyptic, and then you see the fall after the fallout, whatever.
Like
I want to see the fallout. that is the era. I don't care how people live after that. I don't need to see that, because I'll be dead. I won't be one of the survivors. I live in Jamaica, I'm screwed.
Wait, are you going to be someone who, like, when you see it, you're going to stand in
I'm
the road
scared.
And you're going to be like,
I'm going
to be like, and then you fall on top of you.
You're dead like this. It's pretty outstanding.
HD doesn't compare.
It's awesome.
If only video was that good.
I don't know. This is my genre. When I see these movies come on and watch them, I could go down a long list, but we kind of don't have the time of all of these movies that I've seen and like. This guy, he's destroyed the world twice. In Independence Day and Day After Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I think this is his most complete version of ending the world. I think he likes it as much as I like it. And Cusack, I'll watch anything he's in. It's not that he consistently comes in great movies, but I always like him in his movies. So
He has a likable quality to him. Really
side note on Cusack. I know you're a huge Cusack fan.
Uh-huh.
One of the movies that I love of Cusack is High Fidelity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And it's also one of those odd movies that we can agree that Jack Black is nice in. We like him in that movie.
Yeah. He works, right? Yes. But I have to also say that he is Jack Black in that movie. He really doesn't change. But he works as Jack Black in that movie.
On filmjunk.com this week, they had a poll as to the best Jack Black films out there. Would you like to guess where High Fidelity placed?
Very low.
I'm sure you haven't read it, right?
No, I actually did not read that. I do follow Film Junk, but I didn't read that one.
It probably
placed like 15th.
It placed second. But can you guess to what?
Kung Fu Panda.
School of Rock.
No, you know what? I did see that because I saw the School of Rock head. Yeah.
And Kung Fu Panda came like 10th.
Yes, I agree with that. Why not?
Mm-hmm. And
I just wanted to say, because I know that would kind of get to Douglas.
He hates School of Rock and Jack Black.
And
I don't know if I hate Jack Black.
No,
I think.
Pretty much
no, here's the thing about Jack Black. I think he is.
So
to Jack
note.
Black.
Yeah, he's so
yeah,
one note
exactly.
that he gets annoying.
Yeah.
And
so,
he doesn't have the lovable quality of some of the other guys that do it. Like, what's the
like
guy?
Like, Bruce Campbell has that quality.
And Step Brothers.
Oh, Will Ferrell?
Will Ferrell has
yeah,
that quality.
Yeah, he does.
I think he annoys Douglas how that guy from... It's a shitty movie. Nick and Nora's Infinite Place.
Sarah?
Yeah, Michael Sarah. Right. He annoys, Jack Black's annoys him as much as
I've heard Michael horrible. I've heard horrible things about Year One.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I
what
told
did you think was
remember
going to
remember
movie?
What I said from before? I told you that movie didn't
two
look
people
that, good.
That can't play anything else. I've been
in the past few weeks. In the past few weeks, I've discovered the spill.com reviews. Have you been? These are amazing. You need to go and check
yeah,
the year. You have
someone.
To check the Year One review by spill.com. Massa Worm, Cargill, he's insane on it.
They're not friendly with some of these movies.
Fun stuff.
It's awesome. Anyways,
yes,
back
let's
on track.
Continue. And what I would like to say is that we are about to break ground here. This is the first time that we're about to do this in the history of the Unnamed Movie Podcast. We are about to watch a trailer for the first time, all three of us together.
For the first time.
Did I not just say that? No, I didn't. Okay, no. Sorry. Yes, right. For the first time...
We're going to watch it.
We're going to watch it for the first time. All right.
This is our first. This is
and not only are we doing that, but we are going to keep the microphones on so you hear our candid and, you know, unrehearsed responses to the trailer.
Do we
as we are
rehearsed responses?
Yes, we do.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
It's just like Spill.
This is a prepared statement.
Let's hope there isn't
Year
tons of
shit.
Feedback.
Which one is this again?
The box.
Oh, the box, yeah, it just came out today, no?
Holy shit, she has a southern accent.
I don't know what I do with
her. Cyclops.
Over.
Ooh, is this where someone dies?
This is Lewis. I assume you received the box. I have an offer.
It's a warp drive.
If you push the button, two things will happen. First, someone somewhere in the world whom you don't know will die. Second, you will receive a payment of one.
Is it just me? Because I'm all the way over here, but it's like a half of his cheek missing.
Yes,
it looked like that. Even though I'm still not sure.
I have quite a few employees.
Somebody pushing your button.
I wonder if they're gonna say from the director of Southland Tales.
Oh, somebody pushing your button, was that an actual line?
Your wife is gonna die. How's she gonna
die? You're going to kill her. Oh,
man.
Oh,
all right, hold on. I want to start this
I
one.
Love this movie so much before I watch this.
I want to start this one. This movie was actually supposed to come out last year, I think.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Richard Kelly. I love Donnie Darko, even though Southland Tales is utter crap. I know that's only one movie to go off, but I love it anyways, and I love Richard Kelly. Cameron Diaz is not a fan.
Really? Not at all?
Not at all.
I mean, yes, she is not
On occasion, there'll be a movie that I like her in, but uh-huh. Or I like that she's in, but nah, not really. She's not a selling point.
One to Cyclops.
Cyclops, I don't care.
Who's the
but
guy
did
that
you not
gave
watch
them
Sex
the box?
Drive?
He looks familiar, but Frank Langella, that's
yes. Right, I like him.
I remember from last year, I read the plot synopsis of this film, and I was sold. This trailer gives you that plot synopsis. Sold. What didn't I like about this trailer was all of these, like, offhanded lines that you saw. You mentioned one, you know, who's pushing your buttons.
Like, are you guys serious? That's in the movie?
No.
And
about
I
pushing
think,
buttons.
I think they're going to make...
Clever.
Like, this trailer makes me worry that they're going to make this way too big than they need it to be.
Yeah, I mean, I forget that the one, you know, the witty lines. What I'm worried about is that it looks like they're going to make this into some sort of suspense film.
There's a lot of running up and down.
Yeah, you know, you're going to kill your wife if you don't save your son. And then he's running around in some sort of warehouse, like, clearly either chasing down somebody or running away from somebody.
I have a lot of workers. No, yeah, I have a lot of employees.
Yeah.
What the hell does that have to do with the trailer?
Because they'll be watching them.
Are you saying
that's what
that?
It is.
What?
Yeah. So, I'm not sure if I like this movie anymore. I'm just saying. Southland Tales.
I didn't know anything Darko. About this movie. Southland Tales, I think it's unanimous, no one likes.
Nope. I'm actually not sure, but the fact that I fell asleep during the movie
never
and
a good
sign. Have not, you know, been able to watch it again.
One thing that I did like about that movie was the scene in the middle where he basically shoots a music video for the Killers song with what's his name, Justin Timberlake walking around.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember.
I like that.
Oh, I like that too. You asshole.
Having your cell phone on.
Yeah, you know?
I never find it.
If you were my student, I would punch you in the face because I do that a lot.
Is it okay?
No,
or?
Yeah, it's fine.
All right.
Call me this nonsense.
But yes, I've said my piece. I don't like the trailer. I hope that this movie will be good, but hope is not something that I.
It's nice to want things.
Yeah, it's nice, but
Daniel.
I don't think it's gonna be there.
So, Southland Tales, no, Donnie Darko, not even as a joke.
I don't like
but I don't have anything against the director. I just didn't like two of his movies. I don't know what else.
The only two of his movies.
Oh, it's kind of it's not with Donnie Darko is bad, and Southland Tales just not really that good. Didn't know anything about this movie. This trailer is bad. Cameron Diaz's accent, also very bad.
Oh yeah, that totally.
Mm-hmm.
The premise, he would push a button and somewhere someone in the world will die and you get $1 million. And they're in a bind, clearly, because people are being fired left and right or whatever. What I don't understand is how it goes from that to them running up and down like crazy people. Is it that they're trying to find out who they'll kill if they push the button?
Possibly.
But if they don't know the person, then it really shouldn't matter.
You know what this premise reminds me of? Reminds me of 100 Bullets. A bit.
Which one is that?
The
is
comic book? The comic book that I have? We read the first volume. It's Do you know the premise of 100 Bullets? It's basically these people who have been wronged in their life and they're like, whatever, a guy will come up to you. He'll be like, all right, he has a suitcase. In this suitcase is to the T verified proof that this person is the reason why that happened in your life. I mean, whatever it was. And also in this case is a gun with 100 bullets, all untraceable. You can now take this case, check the proof, take the gun and shoot that person, and we will not prosecute you in any way whatsoever. You will get a free pass. And the man leaves him, and then it has to deal with that person deciding whether they're gonna do it, how they do it, and then how, if they do it, when the guy comes back and says, okay, thank you, you may go on with your life now.
Right.
I've only read the first volume, so I didn't really like the book that
so
much.
So, unless they found some way to find out who it is that they're going to kill, and then they're trying to get the money and not kill the person, which, if that is their main aim, just give back the case, and this movie can be done in like 15 minutes.
Almost like a French film I watched.
I don't know why you guys had that problem with that movie, but you know,
yeah,
I'm leaving that alone.
Been done in 15 minutes.
Anyways, that's it, and we're moving on to our feature review of the night, which is Max Manos.
Why do you want to be a saboteur, Max?
My country was stolen from me, sir. And I want it back.
kriser, gutter. Vel, du gjør noe aktivt.
As members of the first Norwegian independent company, you will be trained as special agents. You will execute sabotage missions behind enemy lines. You must forget all you know about normal warfare.
Max Manos. Disse håpløse terroristaksjonene setter sivile liv i fare om vi ikke stopper dette nå.
Gestapo kan få tak i én i nettverket ditt, så finner vi deg.
Nå har vinden bak deg og rundt deg, og de torturerer og dreper vennene mine for å få tak i meg.
So Damian, you chose this film. Let them know what this movie is about.
All right, so Max is a saboteur. He's from Norway.
Yeah.
Right. And, of course, you know, Hitler and his friends invaded Norway in a World War II type era.
World War II type era?
Yes.
Okay, go on. Sorry.
And, you know, the Nazis, they aren't nice dudes. Right? So they're kind of going around.
9-9-9!
They kill a few people here, murder another couple there. You know, pretty much take over. And he decided, you know what? I won't take this anymore. And he's going to find some way to fight back. And he gets himself, you know, some friends from England. And they kind of retrain him. And he becomes a saboteur. And he does what saboteurs do. They sabotage shit.
Do they?
Yes. And the rest of the movie is... Well, the movie's... is about him and a few of his friends and the missions that they go on and the repercussions that take place as they go about what do you call it? Saboteuring?
I'd say fucking up shit. Or fucking shit up.
So, I saw this movie a couple of weeks ago and when I saw it, I said, you know, I think I should just to see what the other guys thought. Because I enjoy the movie. There is, like, towards the end, the movie starts to drag as if whoever was directing the movie got up with, like, 15 minutes left and just went, I can't bother. I just walked away. Because nothing really happens for the last about 10 minutes of the show. They try to put some action there, but there's no real consequence to any of whatever happens in the last... Like, he had, by the end of the movie, done all that it was that he was supposed to do. And he had lost some people. He gained some new friends. But the movie went on for about 15 minutes too long, I think. But at the start of the movie, it was this up-tempo... There was this up-tempo pace to it. He was fighting the Nazis before, and he came back from the war, and then he had to go to England and retrain to be a saboteur. And he was the only one with any real military experience. None of that real, so-called real military experience comes to bear, outside of the fact that this guy clearly doesn't worry about pain and you know, injuring himself. But I found him charismatic. And I found some of the situations that he was put in, how they handled it was more for me true to life than how they portrayed it in other movies. There's a point where like the Nazis had surrounded him, and he like punched one in the face and then just jumped out the window, right? Which, you know, if I were going to be gunned down by Nazis, I'd probably do the same thing. Because one way or another, you're going to kill you. So you might as well, you know, shoot one and at least pretend to escape. And his actions throughout the movie, he sold me as a saboteur. He doesn't look like a real military person. He doesn't look that physical, like he'd kill
none of the group that he was a part of.
So they sold me as saboteurs. They didn't seem like commandos who, you know, like a Rambo type thing or whatever. So I enjoyed the movie for that. It is not an English movie.
It's Norwegian.
Right. And so some of the translation, I think, got lost. Because there's times where they said things that, like, what it was translated to didn't really match up with, like, their facial expression.
But you always do something like that in a translation, right, though.
But I really did enjoy this movie.
You know what I think about this movie? This movie is... a side story. For example, have you guys... I'm sure you've watched Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
And... What was that about?
Love that movie.
Okay, you love that movie. All right. Most people...
Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. I just had a memory. And, you know, okay. I had to give a sigh and a smile. Yeah.
Remind me, please. What was the name of the librarian? The old librarian.
Nobody knows.
Oh, shit.
Something like Smithy.
Yeah,
or
whatever.
Yeah, well, okay, let's say his name was Smith, sure. Right? This is a story of Smith. This is a story of a man who gets so entrenched into something that, like they say in Shawshank Redemption, he's institutionalized.
Right.
And by the end of the movie, he has... I disagree with you. I think he has no friends. I think... maybe not that he has no friends literally, but that's how he sees himself. He has the girl, which is a good thing, and that, you see, in the end,
yeah,
it kind of helps him.
Right.
But
he kind of doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. In the... like, what I think should have probably been the end, he stops and he sees, you know, he's the only one left. He has no real friends. People know him and people...
Are we still talking about
him.
Shawshank?
What are you... We're talking about the movie.
Exactly. like I said, people know him, people talk to him, he has acquaintances, but no real emotional...
he has no
strings.
Connection with him.
Yeah, exactly.
And he sees himself as an outcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he even says it. He says something like,
yeah,
look at me, I have no money, I have no job, and no, there's no war
right.
to, you know.
Right. The only thing he was ever good at.
Yeah.
No,
yeah, because he even said in the beginning of the movie that he dropped out of school when he was in the fifth grade.
Yeah.
Or I think it was the fifth grade. Anyway, that's...
making his friends.
Yeah, that's the story played throughout this movie, and I wasn't a huge fan of this movie. Not to say it was... but... something that kind of got to me was they were playing, or they tried to play up his past, right? And they tried to make him seem like this very sad guy sometimes, but the other times he was not. So there were these points where he'd get these very sad, very vivid, very, you know, painful,
dark, right?
Yeah, flashbacks, but they never... flesh that out. You know, in a lot of movies, you have the flashbacks, which are more of a transition. Not a transition, but they help you to realize how dark this person really is. And then you actually see him in a couple of scenarios, and you're like, this dude isn't so happy. But they never had that. You know, they'd have him, oh, I'm happy, oh, I'm doing my job.
And then
you'd have a flashback. But then right after the flashback, oh, I'm happy again, or he's just doing his job, or whatever. So there was no... there was no big character development there.
Right. There wasn't anything, because they kept... it even started over that flashback, but there was nothing.
In Finland.
Yeah, in Finland.
There was nothing.
My grandma's from Finland. I'm sorry.
Actually, you know, the funny thing is, the first one of the first spoken words in this movie, or at least that, you know, not... that meant anything. Somebody said, oh, the Russians never came within 150 kilometers inside of Finland. And I thought of grandma when he said that, because she always says that.
Right.
So bad. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. And she doesn't say it in a good way.
So we're getting back to this
movie. No, we're going to talk about my grandmother all night.
But, like I said, they in this movie, they had an opportunity to progress the character, but they really didn't.
But I think, you're pointing to that as a negative, but I actually enjoyed that. Because they had this guy doing his job, and clearly he was pretending to be happy, because every time he fell asleep, he went to this dark place. And then his friends, I mean, this is a spoiler, but his friends kind of die off by the end. And then at the end of the movie... there was no one to pretend to. He was just this sad, lonely person that he's been fighting for so long, and all of his friends were dead. That what he was when the war was over, he visualized all his friends in the room with him, and they were all toasting to him, and he wasn't happy. Right? They were like, "Oh, to Max," and he was still sitting there, just sad and depressed. And you can see that it's not just that the people, the immediate people that we knew died, was that the people before in all those like this is just all this mission is going to be is just another set of flashbacks. If we could have seen him in the future, every time he closes his eyes, no, he'll have another group of dark places for his mind. Because even when he was in the car with the king, he was just there.
Hang on. If the movie had ended exactly where you're talking about, right? He's very sad and
that would have been
fine, and you would have had a perfect argument. But you bring up the scene in the king's car. Did you watch all of that scene?
Yes.
Did you not see how all of a sudden first of all, when the girl came, he kind of all of a sudden got a little bit happier.
He kind of put on the face. Putting on a happy face for the people that he sees. Because clearly, he's always, whenever you're sleeping, that's the first thing that you think about. Clearly, your mind has gone to a dark place. He can't be that happy. Yeah. But whenever his friends are around, he puts on this face. Because he was going to try and take on the military by himself, and his friends had to say, no.
Not happening.
None of this.
That won't work.
Just relax yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And, I mean, I'd have preferred if the movie ended there, and whenever I get the chance, I'm going to cut out the last.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like the last scene. In the last scene, he's in the car with the king. Clearly, I guess he's the king's guard because I don't think that's a ceremony if he has that big a gun in his hand.
He was definitely a guard.
As you know, being like this nervous kind of dark guy, and then in the end, he like immediately just. You see his facial expression just change to this happy guy, and
that part I agree with you, didn't like, but for the other things though, like you saw it as a negative, like he's bipolar, dark to light, but. I think that if you're going to be like one of those people, you can't go around like, and there's people counting on you to do shit, to get shit done. You can't always be in this dark place. You have to give them some hope that there's some chance that whatever they're doing is going to work, or no one will follow you.
Okay. Max Manos. I think this movie was gorgeous.
Yes, these are pretty.
Well, for the first 15 minutes, especially when you're seeing that battle in Finland. Yes, I mentioned it again. it just looks amazing. The direction in this film, the cinematography, thumbs up all the way. I love it.
Agreed.
I'm so happy that they can still make movies about World War II and not have to pay attention to Hitler. We don't have to care. We just need to have because a throwaway line that Hitler
dude.
Is out there.
Yes, he's a you know? Bad dude.
The Nazis are here because of Hitler. Let's forget that and move back on with this little part of the story, which happened in a little town 5 miles outside of, you know, we don't need to know any more Hitler stories. We've had enough of that.
Was Hitler bad though? Maybe Hitler was right. Alright, let's see.
I'm making sure that people don't confuse my voice with you.
There's a side that has that shirt. Maybe Hitler was right. I like that shirt.
Well, I mean,
I really don't think we should go to this.
I think we should stop right there. I don't want to have any angry emails come in.
Although people will listen if they want to listen and hate us for that, that's fair.
Right, so I mean, I like the story, I like the cinematography, I like the direction.
What didn't you like?
But one thing I didn't like is after about the 45 minute point, and we figured out what was really going to be happening, which is that he was going to become a saboteur and doing all these side missions, which in the end, it gets something done, but in the end isn't the big bang for the war. You know, it really, it felt a little bit like it didn't pay off well enough for me. And I get what you're saying about the character and him in his dark place. I didn't really see that much when I was watching it, and I have to add that in. But I don't think I'd watch this movie again. I don't think I'd recommend it quickly to people. It's something that it would have to be after you've exhausted all of your World War II love, you know, or hatred, depending on which side you're on. You know, yeah, that's all I really have to say. You guys kind of covered the rest of the points.
Okay.
So you'd give it a maybe?
It's, like I said, it's not a bad movie. But, yeah, I don't know if I'd really recommend it. You know, if somebody said, oh, there's this Max Manus movie, do you think I should watch it? I'd probably say to them, it looks nice, but I wasn't a big fan. That's probably exactly what I'd say.
And one thing I didn't enjoy at all was the relationship that happened later in the movie between Max and Tikin, is her name?
Yeah, Tikin, yeah.
Didn't really like that one. It didn't work for me.
You thought he was going to bang her in like
no,
5 minutes.
No, wrong. Yeah. Douglas said that, and I was joking
well,
just
was
to go
joking
with Douglas.
Around, actually, but,
you know, we were doing the whole guess which cliche is going to happen in the movie first.
And they took you right to the cliche, and then, nope.
I go home now.
Blue balls.
You didn't get that far. All they got was drunk. Anyways, so I think I'd give this movie a, you know, when you're done with saving all the Saving Private Ryans.
I enjoyed this side story. I know about the war. I know Hitler died.
I think I prefer this as a story, if it was like something that an older person was telling me as a 5 minute to 15 minute story, they were telling me about something that
some
actually
dude
happened,
that was a
rather than a 2 hour movie that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Okay, and now that we're finished with that movie, there's one thing I'd like to say.
Okay.
We here at G-Man Reviews actually receive from time to time screeners, and we received one just the other day. Called Lovely by Surprise.
By the director and writer, debut film, Kurt Gunn.
Okay. I'd just like to say, right?
The DVD comes out on July 7th, everybody. Go out and get a copy.
Okay, Andrew's plugging this thing ridiculously. I'd just like to say this thing is awesome. And
how awesome is it?
Oh, it's fantastic.
I gave
it's
it
so
a
good,
9
right?
out of 10.
This is how good it was. I wasn't 100% sure if it was decent or awesome until the end credits, when immediately a Tom Waits song turned on, so it went immediately from decent to awesome.
I'd like to say it the other way around. I know it's awesome, because at the end, when the end credits came and we heard Tom Waits, I realized that possibly, even though I love Tom Waits, is the least favorite song on the soundtrack.
The soundtrack is very good. Anyway, I didn't want to get into any specifics.
And
I just wanted to share my enthusiasm.
Say, based on the screener that I have in my hand, this looks pretty lame.
I can't tell you something.
Don't listen to me, guys.
Damon hasn't watched it yet.
I haven't seen this.
But just as a side note, it's awesome.
And the
like,
poster looks good. You should see the poster.
Yeah, they sent me a poster, which was cool. The guy, I posted the review on Friday.
Like fall into their market.
And then on Sunday, I got an email from the guy telling me how awesome I was, and I had a typo in my review.
I'm sure you had more than one.
Well, you only pointed out one, and that's the only one I found.
Have any of you guys seen Sunshine Cleaning?
No, not yet.
Going to, though.
Okay.
I saw that there were a couple of bad reviews about it, though. Because, like, you know me, right? We've talked about this before. I really think it's going to be good. But I just thought it was weird that there were those not-so-great reviews.
Anyways, let's just close it off here. This is Andrew.
Oh, we can't talk until 12. They want it. All right, yeah, this is Damon.
Yeah, so
and
that
this is Douglas Knight.
You can find find all the released episodes on gmanreviews.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Please give us a review. All the released episodes on gmanreviews.com.
So all three of them.
Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a review.
You get an extra one, a bonus episode.
You can find us on the podcast alley. You can email us at unnamed@gmanreviews.com. And that's about it. Thanks for listening. That's it. I want to be loved by you alone. I want to be kissed by you, just you. Nobody else but you. I want to be kissed by you alone. I couldn't aspire to anything higher than to feel the desire to make you my own. I wanna be loved by you, just you, nobody else but you. I wanna be loved by you alone.